Now, as promised, we're going to talk a bit more about the death of the TV aerial. We're going to speak with Fevzi Turkalp, editor of GadgetDetective.com. Morning, Fevzi.
Morning. Well, it's been a long time coming, hasn't it? And it's been in stages. So we had the conventional, you know, rooftop antenna, and we still have that. And then when Freeview came along, well, we were able to use the rooftop antenna, but have digital channels, which meant a lot more channel availability, both TV channels and radio channels on Freeview, which is via an antenna. And then FreeSat, if you've got a satellite dish that you're not using for anything else, you can use it for that. But now the new thing is called Freelee, and it's from the same people. It's from a company called Everyone, which is backed
right.
by
this
the BBC.
Freelee, F-R-E-E-L-Y.
Yeah, F-R-E-E-L-Y.
Freelee.
Okay. Yeah.
And the point being, it's all free.
Well, no. Well, it is all free. The point being, you don't need an antenna anymore. You
right.
can do it via broadband. So, up until really this point, you've been able to use broadband to watch television, but you've had to go into the individual apps to do it, which is fine. But you know, it doesn't give you the same experience of being able to just flick through the channels, irrespective of who they're from. And Freeview was given that, but then it needed an antenna. Now you've got think Freeview, but with broadband. So if you've got, a second TV, it's in a bedroom or it's in your kitchen, and you don't have an antenna point in there, you're no longer stuck, because if you've got Wi-Fi, you're good. And in fact, you can even use an Ethernet cable. But so it gives you the flexibility of using your broadband connection, but the ease of use of being able to flick through much more like a conventional TV set, right? So you get a single electronic program guide with all the channels in it. You're not jumping in and out of apps all the time.
Got it.
You can still go in and out of apps. So you can go into the global app and the LBC app and so forth and use that. But if you want to just be able to flick through the channels, you know, irrespective of where they're from, then Freelee is the thing for you. And the reason I'm mentioning it now is it's just starting to appear in this year's models of TV. So the sort of 2026 models are coming out around this time of year. And I really wouldn't advise anyone to buy a new TV where it doesn't have Freelee built into it.
The future then? Is there going to be a point where they actually switch off the masts and you know, it's all about broadband? Is that right?
Yeah. So they haven't announced it, but yes, I mean that's the way it's going to go. Once everyone's used to this and enough people have got reliable internet, then I think, you know, conventional broadcasts will go away in that sense. You know, so I don't anticipate we'll have TV aerials, you know, indefinitely. Give it a few years and they'll start to look as redundant as satellite dishes for the
most part. I was going to say, is the same thing going to happen with satellite dishes? People using dishes to the same extent? Or I see that Sky are going online as well these days.
Yeah, no, that's been going on for years, that people, even Sky and other satellite providers have been making sure that they're available to stream. And I think that is the way to go, because satellite dishes were never very convenient. You know, not every household has the right to put up a satellite dish. Not everyone can point one in the right direction or have a decent line of sight. I've still got a satellite dish on my home because it's a motorized one, so I can pick up sort of esoteric channels with it.
Of course.
But for the most part, you know, I think a satellite dish will go the way of shortwave radio. You know,
is there any danger at all that, and I can imagine some people hearing this news and thinking, well, you know, they took away my landline. What happens if the internet breaks? Then I can't watch any television anymore. It's not coming over the airwaves, as it were.
Yeah.
I mean, is there a worry about that?
It's a good No, it's, well, yeah, it's a, it is a good point. I think the thing is, though, that internet is becoming more reliable, faster, more ubiquitous, you know, and you know, you often have more than one source of internet in your home because your phone can form a Wi-Fi hotspot as a pinch as well. And actually, freely television doesn't use that much data because it's not streaming in 4K, generally speaking. So, you know, you can have a backup plan. But yes, you're right. It is more dependent on the infrastructure, and your comparison to getting rid of PSTN conventional phone lines is very good, because one of the difficulties with introducing the new digital phones is that they, unlike conventional phones, they need a power supply. And that's one of the things that slow down the rollout of them, because a conventional phone takes its power down the phone line. You know, it won't power you know, a answering machine, that takes too much juice. But a standard phone can be powered by the twisted pair from BT, as it were. So it's a very good analogy. So yes, here we have something that's a lot more flexible, but maybe a little bit less robust.
Mm. Now, you talk about flicking through the channels, and that's the other thing that, to me, it is changing. I mean, I know people, they're generally older than me, who will just look at the Radio Times and think, what's on tonight? But the vast majority of people now decide what they're going to watch, and they will watch it on catch-up or stream it or just find it somewhere. I mean, do you think we are going to see that phased out, the whole idea of what's on TV now, and with linear channels, or do you think we're going to stick with it?
It's a funny thing, you know. I didn't watch live broadcast TV for about 3 years. I left the TV in a room that I no longer inhabited. So I didn't. I was just watching on, you know, catch up and YouTube and stuff. And when I actually put a TV set in my kitchen recently, actually a Freely TV set, funnily enough, when I did that, I found it kind of mesmeric again. I was watching stuff that I wouldn't normally watch, but because it was being broadcast live, it had a certain cachet that drew me to it. So it could be a film I'd seen loads of time. So there is something about something being broadcast live. But Freely is interesting because although it gives you that sort of live experience, when you come to a TV show, well, the first thing you can do is you can go back to the beginning of it. So if you've come in midway through a program, you can start watching it from the beginning. But also you can go back in time using the electronic program guide, and effectively that's your catch-up service. And then it's also got the ability just to discover programs independently of the program guide completely. I do like Freely because I think it's got that flexibility to do everything, and the user interface is quite nice. It's still a work in progress, to be honest with you, but I think the point that I was trying to make is if you are in the market for a TV, don't be buying one without Freely now, because you'll end up having to buy a little add-on puck, you know, a little box for it, which is going to use up one of your HDMI connectors. So better to get one with it built in. Funny enough, I'm actually waiting for delivery. I've ordered from Amazon two boxes called Manhattan Aeros, two identical boxes. So they're little pucks. They run the TiVo operating system. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But they also run Freely on that. And because they're designed just to do that, they run it very well. It's very snappy. You know, the processor in it is quite powerful. But Freely is not on everything yet, you know. And so, as I say, if you can add a little puck to it, and I'd recommend the Manhattan Aero, subject to me testing it, but spec-wise it looks great. It's about £90, right, to add it to your existing TV, whereas you can buy quite affordable TVs already that have Freely built into it, and I think that's okay. Such people as should do if they're in the market.
One that you've been looking at, which has got it built in already?
Yes. So I was actually looking at this. It's a 55-inch TV from Sharp. I'll give you the model number because there's lots of like similar ones. So this is the specific one that I've been testing. It's called a 55 HM 5245K, and I'm sorry for that, but if I don't give you that, there's no way of you knowing that you've got the right TV. So first of all, it's a 55-inch TV. It runs TiVo operating system. So people might remember TiVo from back in the day when it was a way of being a DVR, digital video recorder. It's not so much that now. What TiVo has sort of morphed into is the ability to find the program that you're interested in without knowing what platform it's on. Like, you don't know if it's on Netflix or Amazon Prime or what have you. Whereas with TiVo, you can search for the program or the genre or the actor, and then it will just find you the appropriate content. I think that's kind of nice, because if you look at the TV space, you know, all TVs are now essentially smart TVs, and the space is owned by big companies. So you've got Google TV, you've got Amazon Fire TV, Roku's just been bought by a film studio, funnily enough. In a way, TiVo is a sort of the last holdout of just being a little bit more independent than the others. Mm. So a little bit more agnostic in terms of what it serves you up with. And what I like about it is so to use an Amazon Fire TV, you have to log in using your Amazon account. To use a Google TV, you have to log in using your Google email address, which allows them, they all collect information. They all collect a certain amount of information. But with Google and Amazon, they are cross-referencing that information with everything else they hold on you, you know, from your Google searches to your AI chat with
really?
Gemini.
They'll be matching up what I'm watching on TV with what I bought on Amazon or what I looked up on Google, dear, oh dear.
Yeah, we'll do a feature about what you can do about that another day, I think.
Yeah,
And they all do it, you know, to an extent, but TiVo doesn't require you to log in, and it doesn't have the same habit of cross-referencing the information in quite an invasive way as some of the others do.
Just a quick question as well. You mentioned 55 inches. Is that to me? That sounds like gigantic. Is that a huge television or is that normal these days?
Well, I think 55 is the new 43. A few years ago, you would have bought a 40-inch or a 43-inch TV. And actually, I think that this Sharp model is a great upgrade for people who have one of those. But it doesn't sound like a lot more, like 43 to 55, 12 inches. But actually, it's 64% bigger in terms of screen size. If you're going up from a 40-inch TV to a 55, that's 89% bigger, almost double in terms of the screen size. So it's deceptive because they measure the diagonal and obviously the area.
But it used to be the case that the bigger you got, the worse the picture quite often. Have we got to a stage now where you can very comfortably and affordably watch a 55-inch TV and it's not all fuzzy?
Yeah, so this is a 4K TV, and I should tell you the list price on this TV is $319, and when I checked earlier today, I found it for $269.
TVs have got so much relative. I mean, apart from even taking inflation into account, they seem to have just got so much cheaper than they once were. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, and that's also something to do with the collection of data, by the way. I think so. But as I say, we'll come to that. And I think TiVo is your least worst option in that ways. But there are still things that we should talk about for that. But this TV, first of all, it's 4K, so you've got the resolution. The second thing is it's got QLED. So there's these different technologies. You've got LED, QLED, mini LED, and OLED. Okay, so LED is your bog standard. I wouldn't go for that anymore. QLED is a similar technology, but the colors are more vibrant. Mini LED mimics some of the benefits of OLED, but is much cheaper. So what you get with mini LED and OLED, organic LED, is you get really black, so you get really high contrast. You know, if you've got with most TV sets, if you display what's meant to be a black screen, you'll see it's got this sort of like grey glow to it. It's not truly black. And you can see that because the bezel is truly black, and then you've got this. That's because of the way that conventional TVs have got backlights and they bleed and cause halo effects. So I would say for an entry you know, an average TV now, you should be looking at QLED technology. If you're particularly into sort of home cinema and stuff, but don't want to go to the extreme cost of OLED, which is, you know, several times more, expensive, three times the cost of a mini LED, then a mini LED is a really good compromise because it gives you the benefits of having these really crisp blacks and bright whites. It doesn't have the disadvantage of OLED, which can be a little bit dim because of the way it works. So I think nowadays, if you can afford it, a mini LED is a sweet spot. And I think what's also interesting is that the conventional brands aren't always the best way to go anymore. I mean, you know, Samsung, LG, Sony, I mean, they still produce fantastic TVs, but they're not the cheapest for the spec. And then you've got newer manufacturers. I mean, Sharp has sort of made a comeback, and there are other brands as well that actually are technologically more advanced, don't have the same brand cachet, but actually, in my opinion, represent better value for money. Also, just be aware when you buy a TV where you buy it from, because the warranty can be quite important. On a £269 TV, you might take a punt. You know, if you get a really good price and they only give you 1 year, you might take a view on that. But if you can, you know, there are stores, you know, like John Lewis, Richer Sounds, they give you 5 and 6 year warranties. You know, you should just bake that into your calculation and say, well, what's that warranty worth to me? I personally don't like the ones where they charge you a monthly amount, because you work out that by the end of 5 years, you've paid for more than a new TV set, sometimes after 3 years. And that's not really cost effective. But if you can get a 5 year warranty, and it costs you, you know, an extra 10% or an extra 50 quid, then I think for the peace of mind, that can be worth it. But on the more affordable ones, interestingly enough, with this Sharp, I bought the 32-inch version of that. That's the one I put in my kitchen. It's almost identical specifications in the 32-inch. And it's brilliant. And, you know, it's got three HDMI connectors on it. It's a really nice TV. I put it on my... The only problem is, now that I've got a nice TV in my kitchen, I eat more.
Oh, dear. No, you don't want to do that. No,
because I sit in the kitchen for longer.
Yeah.
And then I munch on things. So that's maybe not a good plan. But other than that, it's good.
Fevzi, thank you. Fevzi Turk out there, editor of GadgetDetective.com.